Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com as we continue our study of Ephesians chapter 4, covering verses 20 through 24, and we've titled this study, As the Truth Is in Jesus Christ. You can send comments, prayer requests, or questions that you have to our email address at bbbfohio@yahoo.com. That's bbbfohio@yahoo.com, or you can send your letter to P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio, 43085. And now we begin our study of Ephesians chapter 4, verses 20 through 24, titled, As the Truth Is in Jesus Christ. This is part 1 of 2.
All right. As the truth is in Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 20 to 24, if you want to open your Bible. And we'll get into our study and open with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for everyone able to make it out this morning. We pray for those who are not with us, but several of them will watch the live stream along with usually a couple hundred other people. And we pray for the stream to go well, and that the Word of God being taught would produce fruit in the hearer. But that's all up to the hearer. And the Bible says you must believe what you're hearing, and you must receive it as the Word of God, and it'll effectually work in those who believe it. And so we pray that everyone listening will take it in, will be a Berean, search the Scriptures to see if what's being taught is so, and if so, we should all be receptive with hearts of faith, and faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And that's why we do what we do, following the New Testament model of the local church, all to please you, but also it's a gift, and we receive it and thank you and pray in these things in Jesus' name. Amen. As the truth is in Jesus Christ, Ephesians chapter 4, verses 20 to 24. If you want to turn your Bibles there, I highly suggest you do so that you can take notes, maybe underline, highlight, write in your margin, whatever will help you in your future Bible studies. Before I get into the, while you turn there, before I get into the text, I just want to mention we don't do big propaganda things and make a lot of hype, and I don't put thermometers where we keep track of how much you're given and all that sort of thing. But once in a while, we do offer you the opportunity to give a little to something, like we did the Joy Bag Ministry. And by the way, that's been sent. We sent the bags, we sent $500 to cover shipping, we sent $500 to buy Bibles, and then we sent $500 to help some of these churches who couldn't pay for the shipping or buy their Bibles. Amen. And so that was a great ministry there. And then this is a letter from Amazing Grace Baptist Church and the Charity Mission. It's downtown, right off of Broad Street in the on the near west side. And as you know, the founding pastor, Jimmy Hood, went to be at the Lord about this time last year. And Brother Joe Beechler has stepped in as pastor, and sounds like he's doing a great job. Got big shoes to fill. Amen. And he sent this letter out. He says, Hi, brethren, I'm sorry for this prayer letter not being sent sooner. There have been many transitions this past year, but we are now settling down, so the prayer letter will be sent out more regularly. The mission is going well. There are 8 men in the program. The program is living there permanently and going through all the things that they want you to do. He says, many have left last month when I instituted some new rules and standards to the house. That's why we support them. They're not just feeding people, but they're offering people a chance to get started again.
Amen.
And they preach the gospel. People are saved. But some of these men are professing Christians who messed up. And so it's a place with a high standard for people living there. He said, I've decided it's better to focus on the men who actually want to change and try to live a life for God than to have the house full in number but empty of men who want to actually live and walk a Christian life.
Amen.
Now, you're going to see that's related to what we're going to study today. It's not why I'm reading the letter. It just so happens. I got this letter, and it's going to relate to what we're going to talk about today. He says two men have graduated, meaning they've gone through the whole program, and are coming to the church regularly now, and both have jobs and are doing well.
Amen.
Now that's real welfare. That's when you're giving people a hand up, not a hand out. And he says, we are still providing free daily meals for the homeless. So they help more than those eight men, but those eight men live there and go through the program. And he says, they do have to sit through a short 30-minute service ran by either me or one of the preachers here at the church and prepared by members of the church. There are still shower and laundry facilities at the mission, both free of charge. So they let you come in if you'll sit and listen to the message, just like you today. If you want to eat the potluck, you got to listen to the preacher. But that's the way they run that mission down there, and they offer them free laundry and facilities and showers. So anyway, the letter ends by saying there's been a good spirit in the church since the tent meeting this past summer. The church has been growing both spiritually and numerically. We have had two young couples join the church, and they are eager to serve the Lord. I baptized three in August. We've had multiple saved on the streets and in services in the church. Thank you for your support. We support them monthly.
Amen.
And thank you for your support. It is truly appreciated, and we have kept you in our prayers. And he apologizes again for the letter being slow, and that's really not necessary. But this is Charity Mission, P.O. Box. I'm going to put this on the video. If anybody listening or watching wants to send a gift to help that ministry, it's P.O. Box 23221, Columbus, Ohio, 43223. And Charity Mission. Just write the check to Charity Mission. Now, for those of you here, if you'd like to give, you can do that if you want. But we give, and if anything earmarked for them goes over and above our monthly support. So if you give something earmarked to them, it'll go in addition to what we send monthly. What we'd like to do, though, in December, I'm going to remind you that we're going to try to send a nice gift to help them, because after Christmas, the giving takes a dip. So we want to help them to get through the winter. We're going to give them the check after Christmas.
Amen.
And so anybody gives, mark it for Charity Mission. It'll go to Charity Mission, and we'll send them one big check. Last year, we sent them over $500.
Amen.
And so we'll see how the Lord provides over the next month regarding that. All right, let's get into the text. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 20 to 24. You can read along with me. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Amen? We've been studying, last time we studied the Gentile lifestyle that is lived in the vanity of their mind. We talked about that at length. Their understanding is darkened. They are alienated from the life of God. And it's through ignorance, because of blindness of their heart. They are given over to lasciviousness, which explains the sexual promiscuity and Sodom revival going on today. And they are working uncleanness through greed, meaning it's all about me, me, me. It's all about them. And everything they do is to, in their own mind, it's all about serving their own God. And their God is themselves. You say, I don't believe in atheists. Atheists don't believe in God. I don't believe in atheists. Psalm 14:1, for example, says, the fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. Why? Because in his mind he knows there is one. But in fact, he's made himself his God. He is his God. Atheists ought to call themselves metheists.
That's right.
Yeah, you heard that here first. You can make bumper stickers and sell them, Sean, but I get a cut. But ye have not so learned Christ. What? That whole Gentile mentality. When you go to a church where the preacher's preaching all about you, they didn't learn that from Christ. Your best life now, that's not what Christ preached. You know what Christ preached? You're going to be baptized with the baptism I'm going to be baptized with. What's that? Death.
Yeah.
You know what Jesus would have titled his book? Your best death now. Amen.
Amen.
That's what Jesus preached. If so be that you've heard him. You're not going to hear him unless you hear somebody preach the word of God.
Amen.
And have been taught by him. I'm up here teaching, but I hope it's not Greg that you're hearing. It's the word of God you're hearing. I'm a success in as much as you hear the word of God taught.
Amen.
That way you're being taught by Jesus. I didn't come up with this stuff.
Amen.
That's why, you know what? You get mad at me? I don't care. I didn't come up with it. Don't get mad at me. Get mad at the author.
Amen.
I'll give you his address. You can write him. As the truth is in what?
Jesus.
It's in a who. As the truth is in Jesus. How do we hear and how are we taught by Jesus? Well, there's the Gospels and there's the Pauline epistles. Now, of course, the entire Bible is given to us by Jesus. But the direct teachings of Jesus are found in the Gospels and the Pauline epistles. And again, this is one of those moments where some of you say, well, that's kind of basic. This is Sunday school lesson material. Well, most people are not aware of even the Sunday school basic material, but it's also important because we have to warn you, liberals falsely claim that Paul contradicts Jesus' teachings. How many of you know that?
Yeah.
But then you haven't been watching the History Channel. You haven't been watching Arts and Entertainment. You haven't been watching PBS. You haven't been watching HBO. Any of those, when they do a special on Jesus or the Bible, they will tell you that Jesus taught one thing and Paul basically contradicted what Jesus taught. That's also what's taught among some of the Hebrew roots groups, the extremist messianic groups. Some of them go to the extreme where they don't even believe the Pauline epistles are of God. Some of them go to the extreme of teaching Paul was an imposter.
Wow.
Yeah. And it's based on the idea that they teach that Paul contradicts Jesus. And here's the reason why. I'm not going to jump ahead. I'm going to explain why in just a minute. There's also this warning. This group that we've talked about before called hyperdispensationalists, they teach us to ignore the Gospels.
Yeah.
And they teach that only Romans through Philemon are for the church. Now, see, there's always a little bit of truth in what the liberals and the hyperdispensationalists say. There's a little bit of truth. But Paul says they are false teachers.
Amen.
Over in 1 Timothy 6, 3-5, if you want to turn there, I'll give you just a minute, because this is a great passage to mark. And by the way, folks, if you're out on the internet and you're talking to very many Christians, professing Christians, or if you're out doing door-to-door ministry like we all ought to do when we can,
Amen.
Then you're going to run across this stuff. And so if you're not in any way out in the world, either on the internet or in your neighborhoods or whatever, you won't run across this. But if you do that personal work, you're going to come across people who say, well, Paul contradicts Jesus. Or they'll say, well, we're not supposed to even look at anything except for the Pauline epistles. You're going to hear that stuff. They'll deny teaching it that blatantly, but that's what a lot of these groups do teach. Paul had a commitment to Jesus' words, and he expresses it in 1 Timothy 6:3. He says, if any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, look at this, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, what's he say about these people? He is proud, knowing nothing. You know, Amen. The one thing about Paul is this, he's so mean. He's proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings. Verse 5, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such withdraw thyself. See, because this isn't a mega church, and because I don't drive around in a limousine, a lot of people think that I'm just not a real preacher.
Yeah.
I must not be really called of God. If I was really called of God, I'd have a mega church and wear suits and ties that, you know, cost more than your house. supposing that gain is godliness. From such withdraw thyself.
Amen.
I got that bold and underlined for a reason. Because that's what most of the Bible-believing Christians I know, they make shipwreck of their faith right there.
Yeah.
They refuse to obey God.
Yep.
Because that's hard. That's not easy. It's difficult to withdraw yourself from people. We're supposed to get along with everybody. And you're not going to reach anybody unless you got everybody loves you. And that's not Bible.
Amen.
That's man-made positive thinking nonsense, but it's not Bible. One of Satan's greatest weapons is the unequal yoke.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. That's right.
And I'm not just talking about marriage, but it'll get you that way. There's people who were good Bible-believing Christians and they married unequally yoked and it brought them down. But that'll happen in other yokes in life and friendships. Even with your own family. There's some family members you just need to get away from. Some friends you just need to get away from. Friends, you know. Bad company is bad news.
Amen.
And I know there's various scriptures we could go to on that. I know my wife's ready to quote two or three at me right now. But the question is simple, though. We don't have to go anywhere else. Will you obey those words? From such withdraw thyself.
Amen.
When you know that somebody is perverting the Word of God, and when they're telling you that you shouldn't follow the words of Jesus Christ, there's your commandment. When they're telling you that you only read Romans through Philemon, and even that they cherry pick. That's what you're supposed to do.
Amen.
If you refuse, you will suffer the consequences. Everybody look at me right now. As your pastor, I want to say something to you. If you will not withdraw yourself from heretics, you will suffer the consequences. If you will not withdraw yourself from heretics, you think you're smarter than God because God has told you to withdraw yourself.
Amen.
And you think too highly of yourself. The Bible says we should take heed lest we fall.
Amen.
Bible, Jenny, help me out with a quotation from Paul.
Oh.
I thought you're looking at me like you had.
Oh, no.
You're looking at me like you had it on the tip of your tongue.
Galatians 3, Paul had grace.
No, I'm talking. That's it. If any man thinketh he standeth, see, you may think you're so spiritual that you can just get yourself in the middle of the lion's den, and none of those lions are going to turn you into dinner. You think too highly of yourself.
Yeah, amen.
And if you think, well, God wouldn't let me fall. God wouldn't let me get into that kind of trouble. You're tempting God.
Yeah.
You don't disobey God and expect God to bail you out.
Amen.
You know, oh, you heard of Samson?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
You know, that was a really good story with a very basic, there's some deep stuff there, but there's a basic story, there was a basic meaning to that text. God said, don't do this. Samson did it, and then he expected God to continue to strengthen him to defeat his enemies, and God said, no. That's not how it works. If you will follow God, God will be there for you.
Amen.
If you take another path, don't get mad at God that you took another path. And I'm not going to get personal and anything like that, but I'm just telling you, it seems like every few weeks, there's somebody who totally ignores what counsel I've given to them from Scripture, not Greg's opinion. I'm talking Scripture where I say, this is what the Bible says to do in your situation. Totally ignore it. Destroy themselves.
Yeah.
And there's nothing I can do. There's nothing you can do. All we can do is speak the truth in love. There's nothing we can do about it. But one of the problems is there's not enough Christians willing to do even that and speak the truth in love. And then there's not enough Christians who I'm speaking to who just won't. They won't follow the Word of God. If you refuse to follow the Word of God, you will suffer the consequences. That's just, can I give you a real crude, down-to-earth, disgusting example? Oh, yeah.
Tell it like it is.
Tell it like it is. When you go to the restroom, you flush. Amen?
Amen.
And there might be a couple of you here who don't, but now you know you should. Amen?
Amen.
Do you know why you do that? So it won't be gross, but it goes deeper than that.
Get rid of it
so it doesn't make you sick.
Amen.
That's waste. You go to the down the road somewhere, each county will have a waste treatment. That's because it's waste. It's dangerous. Well, the Jews knew that because, do you know, the Bible, God actually gave instructions before we had running water and sewers. Every Jew carried a little paddle with them when they traveled, and they had them in their home. And they didn't have outhouses. They just actually went outside the camp and took care of business and took that little paddle, dug a little hole, and buried it. Patted it down, buried. The Gentiles didn't do that. The Gentiles would just go in a bucket. Ever heard of bedpans? And they'd dump it in their front yard. Yeah. And I've told the story, when I was a kid, they even after they flushed, they still had open sewers. You read about London in the 19th century, or 18th, even before that, is you read all about that. Now, when I'd go to places when I was a kid, you could smell it. Now, it caused disease. It caused massive deaths in some cases, because of not following that one little bit of scripture that says bury it. And there was times where they would actually blame the Jews for what they were dying of, because down they didn't want the Jews in town. They made the Jews live in their ghettos. That's how the word ghetto comes from. And they made the Jews live in their ghettos. The Jews would bury their waste. The dumb Gentiles would dump it out in the front yard and be getting sick and dying, and then they'd blame the Jews. Obviously, the Jews are responsible for this, or they'd be dying too. That's the reasoning. The Gentiles refused to follow very basic instructions. And they paid for it. And the Jews who followed those instructions, except for the Gentiles wanting to kill them all the time, other than that, the Jews didn't suffer those consequences. That's how simple it is. We could talk about running water versus in the Civil War. You know, most of the people who died after they get shot, it wasn't from the gunshot. They didn't bleed out. They died from infection because all the Gentile doctors had a bowl. They'd saw off Fred's leg and all that blood, and they'd wash it in a bowl. And then they'd turn around and saw off Doug's leg, and then they'd wash it in a bowl, and then they'd saw off Johnny's leg, and they'd wash it in a bowl.
By the way, there is a lunch afterwards.
Yes, yes. I'm getting all this out of the way before we eat. Now, if any one of those guys had infection, the doctor would wash his hands in that bowl, and everybody after that would get the infection. But these Jews, they'd saw off legs, and they would wash their hands under running water. Some of them didn't even know why. There's a time when none of them knew why, but they knew God told them to do that. And they wouldn't have that same problem. Now, all they did was follow the Bible. If you reject the Bible, you don't follow the Bible, you'll suffer consequences. Now, you say, well, that was under the law. Yeah, as far as salvation, it's not applicable today, but there are plenty of things back there in that law that are still good for today. And if they'd read their Bible, they would have said, I wonder why God told them to do that. Obviously, it didn't have anything to do with temple sacrifice when you're burying your poo. So there must be a good reason for that. And the same thing with the washing under running water and so forth. That's just a real clear example. How'd you like that, Jenny? And And if it ruined your appetite, we got at least an hour before I'm done, and you'll be over by then when we eat. As the truth is in Jesus, the same thing is true about the Gospels, for example. There are things in the Gospels that are applicable to us today, but there are things that aren't. And it doesn't make Jesus a liar when we say, that's not applicable to me. No, we're saying no. Jesus was speaking to someone in particular. Paul teaches the words of Jesus Christ. What's this big word here? See, when Jesus is saying you have to endure to the end in order to be saved, go over to Matthew 24, he's not talking to the church.
Amen.
He's talking about the tribulation period, as we call it. Daniel's 70th week, the time of Jacob's trouble. During that period of time, you must endure to the end to be saved.
Amen.
And so that's not our doctrine. We don't tell you to endure to the end in order to be saved. If you are saved, you ought to endure to the end, but not to be saved. Amen?
Amen?
Big difference. And that's what, when it comes to the words of Jesus Christ, we teach all of them. But we teach you to take the context in consideration and to apply it according to its intended application. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So the reality is, when Jesus isn't speaking to you, then it's not for you.
Amen.
When he is, then it is. All right, get your phones out and get a picture of that, because I know that's profound. Sometimes the most profound truth, you guys take me seriously, they're all the cameras now. But that probably wasn't a good pose. I'm not good at that, but sometimes the most profound truths are the obvious truths. When Jesus isn't speaking to you, when you're reading the words of Jesus, you got to ask, who is he talking to? He said, get behind me, Satan. Why don't I see Christians saying, well, just call me Satan. Jesus obviously called me Satan. Everything Jesus says is for me, so I'm Satan. Right? No. So even those who will argue with us on what I'm teaching here, they're inconsistent and hypocritical because they don't think they're Satan. But Jesus said, you're Satan.
Yeah.
Didn't he? Haven't I chosen you 12? One of you is a devil? I'm a devil. No, he wasn't talking to you. He was talking about Judas. And when he says, get behind me, Satan, he's speaking to Peter. And Peter was being motivated, moved by the devil, so he rebuked the devil. See? And he wasn't calling you the devil. He wasn't calling you Satan, so don't pretend he was. Do you know, how many have heard of Origen, the church father?
Yeah.
Yeah, because he would not follow this. He cut his testicles off. Can I say that? Are you okay with that? It's medical terminology. Because Jesus said that if something caused you to sin, you're better off to cut it off than to enter into hell with all your parts. Then, you know, so you're better off not having certain parts and going to heaven. Origen didn't take that in its context, its intended meaning, and so he castrated himself. How many of you knew that? Yeah. Hey, give him credit. I mean, at least he practiced what he preached. Origen, I don't know if he's in heaven or not. He denied the deity of Christ and had a very works-based idea of salvation. And if he died in that, you know, we don't know how he died. He might have got it right before he died. We just know what he wrote while he was in good health. Castrated, but in good health. But if he got to heaven by repenting of all this stuff, he's going to get there and find out he didn't have to cut those things off.